We didn't have the sprinkling rite this morning as we have in all these the previous Sundays of Easter, and I thought that actually would have felt really nice this morning. And it would have. I wouldn't have minded the backsplash that maybe some of you have noticed usually comes when I'm circling around. But this Sunday, we celebrate the great solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord, when we recall how our Lord Jesus, our Savior, took with him our humanity to be glorified in heaven, and as he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And now with it, with the celebration of the great solemnity of the Ascension, we begin this period of great waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost next Sunday. And the readings we have for this feast are really profound. We read our Lord telling us in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And you will be my witnesses. And this should make us think, brothers and sisters, do I truly live as a witness to the Lord? Do I truly live as a witness to the Lord? Do I live as a witness to his resurrection? Has the reality of Christ's death and rising truly taken hold in my heart? For indeed, brothers and sisters, we too are called to be witnesses to his resurrection. Although we weren't there to witness his literal ascension into heaven with the apostles and our Blessed Lady, we do give witness to his resurrection in our lives. How has Jesus changed you? How has he healed you? How has he freed you? How has he given you greater peace or joy or patience in your life? How has he helped you to love more like him? And all of this demonstrates the power of the resurrection, right? They are your witness to his resurrection. And it's interesting because when we see the word witnesses in the scriptures, as our Lord calls us, "You will be my witnesses," the original Greek for that word witness is martus. Martus. And what does that sound like? Martyr. Martyrs. And we see this, of course, in gut-wrenching but beautiful ways in the early church, like right after the ascension of our Lord. For example, with the martyrdom of St. Stephen, which is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, not long after this very passage we just heard of the ascension of our Lord, we encounter the first martyr to the faith, Stephen. And what we see in the account of the martyrdom of Stephen, and of course countless numbers of other Christian martyrs, is we see someone who is confident, all right, even in the face of those who are putting him to death. And yet, who is praying for the forgiveness of those who are putting him to death. See, in the martyrs, the life of Christ continues to be lived through their witness, through these disciples. The life of Christ continues to be lived through his disciples. And this is a theme, of course, we see in the life of the saints all through church history. And it's meant to be for you and me. You know, persecution, martyrdom have been markers of Christianity from the very beginning. You know, you can go back to Tertullian, the great early Christian writer and witness, who said, "The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church." The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. And what we see in all of them, what those who seek to be like him do. And that is to die with him so that we may rise with him. And that's going to happen in different ways, of course, depending on our states in life. But this is what the saints have always been about. And this is exactly what the Lord promises. As we see, he's preparing to be taken up. The disciples ask him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And what's his answer? "It is not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." To do what? To do what? To be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. To be ones who, by the Spirit, will witness to him. And yes, in some cases, that may mean the giving up of one's very life. But all of us are called to give our lives for the gospel, whether through martyrdom, through suffering. And there's all kinds of ways we do this, through sickness, you know, or a hidden life of, of service or prayer, sacrifice and worship. But all of us are to be that witness. And that's what the gift of the Spirit brings. And through that, the presence of the Lord Jesus continues on until he comes again. The presence of the Lord Jesus continues on until he comes again. And the perhaps shocking reality, brothers and sisters, is there have been more Christians martyred in the past century alone than all previous centuries of the church. There have been more Christians martyred in the last century alone than all previous centuries. You know, even today, we see Christians being persecuted throughout the world in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia, in places like Nicaragua, Mexico, Nigeria. You know, priests, religious, lay men and women who suffer violence, kidnapping, death for the faith. And I don't know if you realize, but many observers would say that Mexico is the most dangerous country to be a Roman Catholic priest. Mexico, the most dangerous country to be a Roman Catholic priest. Yeah, persecution, what does it do? It often deepens the faith of the church rather than destroy it. That's why we see, brothers and sisters, time and again, where the church is persecuted, that's where she's strongest. Look over to the continent of Africa, which has seen incredible numbers of people coming into the church in recent years. I think in the last year, again, another like 7 million people. And that's a place where Christians, Catholics, are experiencing great persecution. You probably see these reports in the news. As a very early Christian writer says, as the soul benefits from the deprivation of food and drink, so Christians flourish under persecution. So Christians flourish under persecution, because when people suffer for Christ, they come to know what the gospel is worth. It's worth everything, because they've sacrificed something to believe in, to continue, to carry on. It gives a courageous vibrancy to their faith that, sadly, I think we see is often lacking here in the West. And that same witness is asked of you and me, brothers and sisters. That same witness is asked of you and me. You know, most of us will never be asked to shed our blood for the faith. But all of us are called to give our lives to Christ in faith, in service, in sacrifice, in prayer, in charity, perseverance, and trust. And this is what the ascension prepares us for. This is what the ascension prepares us for. The Lord ascends to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit so that his life may continue in you and me. So that his life may continue in you and me by our witness. So let us pray, brothers and sisters, through the intercession of the holy martyrs and all the saints, that we might have the courage to witness faithfully to the resurrection of our Lord in our own lives until he comes again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.